Broadcasting from the Prime Meridian Bank Studios in the capital city of Tallahassee, this is Front Row Knowles with Tom Block and Keith Jones. Front Row Knowles is brought to you by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way.
Good day, everybody. Tom and Keith Jones back with you. This is Front Row Knowles. KJ, good to see you again. I'm not in great spirits, but I'm in better spirits than last time we talked, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, my disappointment turned to anger and then turned to focus on Wake Forest, which is good because I was afraid my disappointment would turn to anger and then would turn to something much worse. I'm still in disbelief over that final play. I know most of our listeners are as well, but I think, Tommy, it's time to move forward.
Can we look back at all, or we're just going to turn the page, rip it up, and go?
I'm almost inclined to turn the page, rip it up, and let's go.
Okay, let's do it. You call the shots. I'll do it. This has been, if you're listening to this show, you're probably listening to the 912 other FSU podcasts are out there. Everybody's beat to death the same talking points. Let's go with this. There's no longer an or between Mackenzie Milton and Jordan Travis on the depth chart, which means Milton is the starter. So what say you?
I agree with the decision. I still am one that would wish that they would utilize, if he is willing, would utilize Jordan in the slot, even at tailback, and find ways to get the ball into his hands other than taking the snap. But I understand the dynamics that are involved in that. But I do think McKenzie gives you a better shot, although they did not throw the ball down the field after the first couple of drops early in the ball game. They've got to find a way to get the vertical game going, and I think Milton provides the best opportunity for that when it happens.
So a couple things about Milton. First of all, this question will be there as long as he continues to play football, but how long can he hold up? It would appear, because he played everything but what? A handful of snaps the other night, that there weren't repercussions and he held up okay. I didn't watch him play a lot at UCF, but he definitely has a good pocket sense and presence and awareness. He realizes when the ball's got to be thrown away. He's got that mental clock. He's more mobile than I realized he would be even after that knee injury. And he throws from funky arm slots, as we've talked about, but he finds a way to get the ball there. And that, at the end of the day, is what you're asking your quarterback to do.
And one of the other things that he does well is he finds the guy to get the ball to. He doesn't force many things. He takes, you know, the proverbial what the defense gives him. And there's an argument to be made. I've not had the opportunity to have the conversation that maybe in the second, third, and fourth quarter, there were calls to get the ball down the field vertically. But because of the way that Jacksonville State was playing and the reads that McKenzie and progressions that he was going through, that's part of the reason why he checked down. You and I talked before we came on the air. The one thing I'd like to do away with, and this is a criticism of play calling, if you want to call it that, is I'm tired of the flanker screens and the bubble screens. They haven't worked under three regimes now. Let's do something else.
But those are baked into the RPO, Keith. You know that.
I got nothing. I just don't like them.
Yeah, well, Florida State has never been very proficient, as you pointed out, under three regimes of running them, particularly if it's one where you've got three receivers, a bunch formation, and you're asking two to block and one to catch. That's never been successful. If you're just throwing it quickly to one receiver outside, that's the extended handoff, if you will, and you can get 4 or 5 yards. That one doesn't bother me as much, but even that's not been a day at the beach for Florida State over the years.
And I know they were targeted a little bit, but you've got to continue to find ways to get the ball to the tight ends because they're open. And last I checked, they do a much better job catching the thing than the wide receivers do.
Although Jordan Wilson had a big drop the other night, too.
He did, but I'm still going to go with him.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Well, to me, it comes down to this then. Can Florida State run the ball with Milton as the quarterback? I know that you've got to have a threat of a passing game to loosen up the run, which is the argument for McKenzie, along with the points we just made. But even though I said he's mobile, he's not somebody that's mobile the way Jordan Travis is and creates some different dynamics for the opposing defense.
Yeah, but Tommy, you don't have to do it through the RPO all the time. If you can line up and run the football, then you can do this thing that's been lost on everyone that's called play action. And then you open up the middle of the field because hopefully you're getting the linebackers to stay in a little longer. You can do some crossing routes. You don't have to do the takeoffs and the nines. You can do some things over the middle, and you can get the ball to the tight end. You know, I'm sorry, conventional football still has a place in today's game if you operate it correctly.
That's really my question, though. Can Florida State line up and run the football as you just described it?
I don't know that you know until you give it a full-hearted chance, because they have had some success, as they did in the Notre Dame game, running the ball. Everything got, you know, out of whack against Jacksonville State, so I don't even know if you can use that as a sample size. But make that a focus, practice it, carry it into the game, and do it. Make Wake Forest change you.
A couple minutes to go here in this first segment. We'll be joined by Bob Frante from the Osceola next segment. Then we'll talk volleyball with head coach Chris Poole from Florida State. They are going to honor one of their former players tonight who passed away earlier this year suddenly. Tragic story there. We'll chat with Coach about that. Keith, let's go macro real quick. So after the Notre Dame game, the feeling was so good. Everybody was in this mindset of, oh, Florida State can – we're going to compete with everybody, save for maybe Clemson. And after last week, everybody's of the mindset that Florida State's not going to be able to beat anybody. Where are you on that in terms of what this team might be able to do? And I realize we got to go one game at a time, and let's beat Wake this week.
We've said it numerous times before. It's still accurate, even though we sound like we're repeating ourselves. It's all above the shoulders. It's not the coach's responsibility. I'll probably say that three or four times this show and 20 times the rest of the year. It's not the coach's responsibility to get the players ready to play. The coaches coach. The players get themselves ready. They were ready to play against Notre Dame. They were not ready to play against Jacksonville State. That has nothing to do with talent, how much you lift, how fast you run, or anything else. That is completely controllable by the players from the shoulder up. So it can change overnight.
I would say, and this is way down the line, there were several key injuries around the ACC last week, including BC losing its starting quarterback and starting place kicker. So there's going to be opportunities there when the time comes for Florida State. But most importantly, they got to get their act together this week, 3:30 against Wake Forest on Saturday. We'll talk more Florida State football. We'll engage Bob Frante from the Osceola and put him on the hot seat to talk more specifics about where Florida State football is at this very moment in time. That's when we continue on Front Row Knowles.
Some battles are worth fighting. They build character and teach important lessons. Other times, the more we resist, the longer we stay stuck, when a simple change would change everything. Is your bank holding you back? Try my bank, Prime Meridian Bank. Changing is easy. We'll show you how. Prime Meridian Bank. Tallahassee, Crawfordville, and on the web at trymybank.com. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Bob Hobbs. We're always talking about getting your best deals, your best trade, and your best financing. But with these challenging times, we wanted you to know, if you can't make it in, we'll even bring the car to you, and we'll appraise your vehicle at your home or business. And for all our service customers that can't make it in, we'll pick up your vehicle, get it serviced, and bring it back to you. We just want to make it easy to do business. We appreciate our customers and want to say thank you for your business. So whether it's sales or service, come by and see us or check us out at HobsonChevrolet.com. Buy and service your vehicle the Hobson way.
Front Row Knowles is presented by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way. Now back to Tom and Keith.
Welcome back to Front Row Knowles. We'll continue the football conversation as we welcome our Osceola insider, Bob Frante, joining yours truly and Keith Jones on Front Row Knowles. And Bob joins us via the Earl Bacon Agency hotline, the Earl Bacon Agency, ensuring your future together. Hey, Bob, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. We had our therapy session. Our first one was in the wee hours, actually early Sunday morning. And we're using this show to sort of turn the page, but we haven't connected. So
How long was did you sit in stunned silence or shock after the clock struck zero, literally around midnight on Saturday?
You know, I think I had just enough time to post on Twitter, "I don't believe what I just saw," to quote Jack Buck, and then to have to rewrite furiously what we just saw and try to make some sense of it. It was, you know, I think the players and the coaches apologizing was a good start for them, part of their therapy and part of the fans' therapy. But frankly, it was embarrassing whether Florida State had won or lost. It just, the night what was not secured early as it very much could have been. It's just a very disappointing thing, I think, for the players and the coaches to get through.
Well, I think as we sit here at midweek, everyone has been over this call, that call, call the timeout, don't call the timeout, catch the ball, don't catch the ball. My focus, candidly, is because we've had this game circled for a while now, is the game coming up. Because Wake Forest, I don't care what anybody says, is a quality opponent. You're playing them at their place. You better be focused or it's going to get worse, if that's even possible.
I think part of that is the respect for Dave Clawson, what he's done at Wake Forest, maximizing the roster, recruiting really, really well. You know, Coach Fuller has worked with Dave Clawson at Richmond. They know each other well. Mike Norvell and Coach Clawson faced off years back in the Birmingham Bowl. And so they're familiar with each other more than just tried to prepare for that game last year that was at the end of December and got canceled. I think the challenge with Wake Forest is not just good coaches and good personnel, but Wake Forest doesn't make mistakes. They've got an offense that's kind of tricky with that mesh point with Sam Hartman holding that RPO a little bit longer. It's forcing the defensive players not to make too many mistakes and be very keen on what you're seeing, not overly aggressive. It's so unique that it's just a challenge for the scout teamers to replicate. So Wake is kind of presenting something to you that just you don't see as a traditional college football coach, college football player, week in, week out. That's just what makes them so challenging.
And Kalen DeLoach is out for the first half. So how will Florida State handle that? That's in light of his targeting foul at the end of the game.
Yeah, and next man up is Cortez Andrews from Godbey High School. You know, good for him. It would appear like he's going to get his first start. It would appear like this is a game where they'll kind of lean on three linebackers, you know, some combination of Andrews and Lundy and Gaynor. And you just got to be very, very, very careful, or else, you know, not being mindful of your one responsibility, your one gap can create a chunk play that, you know, somebody else has to kind of cover for you. It's going to happen. It's just don't get frustrated by it. It's just learn from the mistake. You know, coaches have to help out in the game, coach guys through it. I'd be curious, you know, how many guys on the defensive side have never seen Wake. I mean, we've got a lot of new Florida State defensive players. They have not seen this. Didn't play that game last year. That didn't play that opponent. So there's just a lot of new things they're going to have to work out. It's going to take a good feeling out period within that first half.
Bob, a positive or a negative thing that we know who the starting quarterback is going to be?
I think it almost had to be Mackenzie Milton in some respect. If you buy into the identity of this offense being you must run it and you've been successful running it, then the next component is how do you make the passing game work? And it feels like it works a little bit better with Mackenzie in a rhythm passing game. And everybody's going to say, well, against Jacksonville State, you didn't have the deep passes. It wasn't working. There were some drops. There were a lot of penalties. You were in second and long, third and long. It wasn't a good situation for the quarterback or the receivers. So I think there are opportunities for Jordan Travis to get in the game. No doubt he's going to be a factor. How often is a big question, but it's part of the game plan. It's part of I still love Kenny Dillingham's line last week. Coaches are paranoid, and they want opponents to prepare for two quarterbacks. But I think in essence, your identity is run. And use Mackenzie to kind of guide the ball down the field, not just as a game manager, but as a guy who makes the offense work the best that it can.
The coaches were pretty defiant or insistent that they're going to stick with the Wildcat. They've always had it in their offense. if that's the philosophy, and maybe it's not just whether it's wildcat, but in short yardage and goal line situations, isn't that where having Travis at quarterback would make some more sense? Because you could hand it Corbin, you know, you could do some zone read stuff. He can throw the ball, or at the very least, somewhere in the back of that playbook, there's got to be a jump pass from Corbin to somebody. Because every time we've seen it the last 2 years, he's just run it. He hasn't tried to throw it.
Yeah, coaches will start to figure it out. I like the jumbo formation. They used four tight ends at one point in that game on the goal line, and Wyatt Rector caught the touchdown pass from Mackenzie Milton. I think there are some advantages to using the multiple tight ends because it just opens up things that you can do. It's hard to cover all those blockers and then realizing who might be a receiver, for example. The Wildcat just doesn't feel like it's in sync at all just yet. I would still prefer to see some RPO type of thing with Jordan Travis and Toa Fili, or Jordan Travis and Corbin. It just doesn't feel like it's there just yet. You know, we don't see, I hope this isn't too insider, but honestly, we don't see a whole lot of Wildcat in practice. They're, you know, what we see is Tuesday, Wednesday practices. What they're running on Thursday and Friday and kind of hiding from the media and the public is certainly their prerogative, but I think they're still trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. It's really early on for them. And again, not wild with the Wildcat, but it's a wrinkle that they like. It has worked for them at Memphis. I think Kenny Dillingham has really expressed that. They're not going to go away from it.
Please tell me we're going to try to get the ball down the field in the air somehow, some way.
I think you have to. Otherwise, you know, guys are going to load the box and defenses are just going to put eight or nine up there, and it's going to be miserable to try to run. But the bottom line is not just throwing it deep, catching it. This is a really basic thing. And I think, again, to Kenny Dillingham's point, when Keyshawn Helton dropped that ball that is an easy touchdown, it not just erases 6 or 7 points, you don't gain the confidence out of that positive first drive energy that, hey, what we did in practice all week is really working. How we scripted it, it's going just according to plan as the coaches laid out for us. Florida State hasn't started well, you know, in either of these two games. The first quarters haven't gone great. It has been a slow starting team at times throughout the last few years through various coaching staffs and various coordinators. They've got to throw it deep, but they also have to figure out how to catch it. And I think throwing deep also can't be a reflection of you had penalties and you're forced to throw it deep too.
Exactly.
There's a lot of things. Yeah, it's just a lot of things that are kind of tricky right now. The self-inflicted wounds are, you know, you can't have that against Wake Forest because Wake Forest isn't going to make those mistakes. They're going to be happy that you're making those mistakes.
And they're going to take advantage of your mistakes.
Well, Dante Lucas was a self-inflicted wound waiting to happen. Three penalties in a half of football last week, and he's no longer on the team. I don't know the circumstances beyond that or behind that, but as I think everybody had the same thought. Whether he has experience or not, he just can't see that there's been so many key times he's had penalties. I felt like he had to go another direction. So anyway, that it's moot to discuss that now because he's not on the team. My bigger question is, because of the tackle injury, they had to move three players to different positions to make up for one guy going out, which speaks to the lack of depth. Do you think that's still how that has to be handled? If a tackle goes out, are we having to move that many guys to get comfortable?
I think that's just the best case scenario at this point. You're kind of moving past plan A and all the way to plan C. It's not a good situation just because getting to eight offensive linemen that you feel are dependable did include Dante Lucas and did include Maurice Smith, who was injured, and also Robert Scott. And when you start subtracting some of those key pieces, you're looking to guys who just don't have a lot of playing time. You're looking at a Zane Herring. Can he factor in? You're looking to Brady Scott, who I think clearly has experience, but much better suited at guard than tackle. You've got guys who are guards who can play tackle, like a Devontae Love Taylor, very capable. I don't feel like it's his natural spot. But I think the offensive line group knew that injuries were going to happen. It's just the nature of the way football is. And they tried to cross-train through it in August to best prepare. But you also can't expect it to be incredibly functional and to look good. And often in the second half, it just wasn't functional. It penalties, guys just not certain of what they're supposed to do. And you'd like to have Dante Lucas, I think Florida State would like to, but it didn't work out. Maybe it was mutual. Maybe it wasn't, but you just have to find more guys you can depend on. And right now it's tough to find those guys as the season progresses. I think it's more of who can we find that we can count on through spring and through August and not, hey, on the fly, who do we have?
Bob Ferrante, our Osceola insider. We'll let you off the hot seat, sir.
All right. Take care.
He joins us each and every week. We'll take a break. We'll turn our attention to volleyball, a special evening, unfortunately, bad circumstances that led to it in part, as Florida State will pay tribute to one of their own who lost her life earlier this year. That story is coming up next as Chris Poole, the volleyball coach, joins us here on Front Row Noles.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your local independent Auto Owners agent is the Earl Bacon Agency. Call us at 878-2121 or visit us on the web at earlbacon.com.
Some battles are worth fighting. They build character and teach important lessons. Other times, the more we resist, the longer we stay stuck. When a simple change would change everything. Is your bank holding you back? Try my bank, Prime Meridian Bank. Changing is easy. We'll show you how. Prime Meridian Bank. Tallahassee, Crawfordville, and on the web at trymybank.com. Member FDIC.